There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you here on this Monday. New week to work with as we count down the days to Fat Tuesday, a week out as of tomorrow. Full parade schedule, of course, is on our website, fmtalk1065.com, where you can also go back and listen to the, you can binge listen to the Moon Pie Minute. You can go back and catch up 24 days already in the podcast form. Go back and check them out. And, of course, you can check out the brand new Today's Moon Pie Minute coming up in just a few minutes. And talk about Moon Pie, talk about Mobile, and talk about celebrations. It's lucky that Cammy from Cammy's Old Dutch is in here. Hey.
Hey.
This is a, this is, first of all, I want to say this. As we celebrate Mardi Gras here, and you and being our hometown maker of the ice cream. Mm-hmm. You make the most hometown flavors for us to, I mean, it's like the kids, about time we get, we're not even past maybe UMS there, that right. They already start giving me, you know, oh, we're stopping, we're stopping. It's, Dad, it's Mardi Gras. It's mm-hmm. Mardi Gras. We got to get mm-hmm. some Mardi Gras ice cream.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing the Mardi Gras, the Moon Pie ice cream?
I'm going to say at least 11 years.
And you, I mean, y'all, this is serious. We've talked about it before with Cammy. You put in, it's moon pies.
Yeah, it's moon pies. We buy the cases of moon pies. We unwrap them. We tear them apart, and we put them in the
it's
ice
not
cream.
Moon pie flavoring.
No, it is moon pies.
But that's like a whole extra labor
it is.
There.
It's a lot of labor. I'm telling you, when Fat Tuesday is here, I'm celebrating for a whole different reason than
He's
y'all
like,
are.
I'm done
I'm
with
like,
this.
I'm done for a year. No more moon pies.
It's so good, though. If y'all have not had this, it's like... It's so perfect on the way the parade you go right. And you get, it's just mm-hmm. like the vibe is good.
Yeah. And then I just won an award for the best king cake, non-traditional king cake with my king cake ice cream.
So what makes it so non-traditional? Because it's ice cream or different
yeah, it was
flavor?
Ice cream and it's a cinnamon ice cream, but I take an entire king cake, tear it up, throw it in there, and then I swirl it with cream cheese icing.
You've got more tearing stuff up and putting it in ice cream.
Yeah, and then we put a whole cake in the birthday cake, a whole cake in the red velvet cake. Yeah, we spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
No wonder it's so good. This is going to be a dual conversation here because,
right.
Number one, because I'm a super fan of your ice cream and talk about your ice cream. At the same time, you're coming in to talk about running, Cammy. What are you doing to me here?
Yeah, so I do that too. So I am a Bay Area runner, okay. And we put on the 29th annual Joe Kane Classic 5K.
Okay.
Now, it's a 5K. You got to run it,
right.
Or you can walk it. You
okay.
can do the 1 mile, and even the kids can do the Moon Pie Dash.
Okay.
But this is one of the best parties in Mobile, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's
right.
on Joe Kane. It starts at 8 a.m.
Okay.
You run 3 miles. It's fast, flat, and ugly is the course.
Fast, flat, and
ugly. That's what we go by. But what makes this a great run is all the money we collect goes to challenged athletes.
Right.
So when you see...
And some of them come out to compete.
Oh, they do. They come out in the wheelchairs and
yep.
all, and we push them. So this year, we're going to do the Miracle League of Gulf Coast, My Team Triumph. Now, that's the red shirts
okay.
where they push.
Yes.
You have the captains that
yeah,
push
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. I've done that. I chose the one that was in Fairhope that had to go up that big hill. I don't suggest that. And then the other one is SNAP, and that is Special Needs Athletics Program, and they do bowling on Saturdays, and it is so much fun to watch them.
Oh, wow.
So I have a good friend that does the bowling program. So
what I love is this very, very Mobile, very, very Gulf Coast celebration. The money is staying right here to help out folks?
So far, $195,000 have gone.
Damn, you're kidding me.
No. A lot of people. Yes, we do a great job. We hand out checks. Sometimes it's $10,000 to these. And what we do is, as members, we find these challenged athletes, and we submit it, and then we vote on it. And then we choose the ones that are going to receive it.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Hats off to y'all.
Well, thank you.
So if we're going to come out and participate.
Yes.
Because there's a party, and we're going to participate in the running and then the partying. How do we do this?
Okay, so you can register events.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to McCoy's Outdoors or Running Wild in Fairhope.
Okay.
Okay, or day of. You can register day of.
Okay, where would we show up? If we're going to be a slacker and show up day of.
Broad Street and Canal Street.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, writing that down.
Yes.
All right, so Broad and Canal, we can show up day of, but mm-hmm. better ahead of time, go by McCoy's or go by Running Wild.
Yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
And 5K, 1 mile, or a quarter mile. And if you're going to do the Moon Pie Dash with these children, you are not going to beat them. I'm just saying that. You let those kids win. I don't care how good you're feeling.
Is there a danger of having a mean-spirited adult come out to beat the kids?
I have seen it. I've witnessed it.
Okay, so if we come out, though, we can have kids do the Moon Pie Dash, and we can do the 5K.
Afterwards, we're going to walk on over to Augusta in front of Joe Kane's house.
All right.
So we have shut the whole street down, and we've got a DJ. And in the middle, we have tables, and we have pizza and beer and Coke and all that good stuff. And we are dancing, and we are having a blast. And we have ice cream. And about the end of it, after we're dancing, here comes the widows. Mm-hmm. They pull up on the bus. They go up and get on his porch, and they start throwing out to all the crowd. And then it kind of dies down. Well, a lot of people from Callahan's and that little block party mm-hmm. will walk over, and everybody just joins in. It is just a blast.
Is that the finish line for the 5K?
No, the finish line is right there at Broad, so you would have to walk over afterwards. Okay. Yeah.
But then the party starts.
Yeah.
Broad and Augusta. Yes. All right, so once again, if people are hearing it right now, it sounds like, because you were telling me off air, you said you could, if I wanted to walk it.
You can walk it. A lot of people walk a 5K.
Okay. So if they said my knees aren't going to hold up for running, I just want to walk it. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like a great event. Nice thing is, too, before you overindulge on Joe Kane Day, you've at least cleared some calories. Mm-hmm. You've gone into the negative on calories.
That's right. Three miles, about 300 calories.
That's good for
three beers.
That's right. See, I'm going to use that argument.
Yeah, that's right.
Say this: three beers.
And then
don't
you're
going to
dance.
Count. Yeah,
then you're going to dance.
That's probably another 300.
Street dancing. Yeah.
You ever see me dance? That's another 300 calories. So pretty good. You're setting up my day. All right. So if people, it's better to get the ticket ahead of time, but you can sign up day of. Is there a Facebook page, website, place to go for this?
There's a Facebook page, but now I don't know the website. Okay. Now I'm going to get fussed out.
How about this? Well, Dalton, Dalton will Google it for us, put it up there. But I know the Facebook page. Facebook.com/ Joe Kane Classic Run.
Mm-hmm. And then you can go on Little Red Hen Productions.
Okay.
And register. Yeah.
All right. So there's another one. So we're writing these down. So
get some information on that, too.
I bet if somebody stopped in the shop today, you'd tell them about it, too.
Oh, yeah. If they want to register at Old Dutch, they can. That's fine with me. Yeah.
You'll take that registration mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is, once again, on Joe Kane, y'all. This absolves you from at least 600 calories.
Right.
On your big party. And anything else that folks need to know? What do you got? Any recommendations? You said no more Mardi Gras, no more moon pie flavored ice cream after
Fat Wednesday. But you know what? I'm celebrating 50 years for Old Dutch.
That is right.
Congratulations. 50 years is the gold anniversary. And it's almost St. Patty's Day.
Okay.
So I'm thinking I'm going to go to Crichton.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving through Crichton I had this really big thought come in my head, so mm-hmm. all I can say is, come March.
You're we'll not going to do that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I am. Because we are celebrating our golden anniversary, and now we're going to have Where the Gold At, right there at Old Dutch.
So this is going to be a way to celebrate the Crichton Leprechaun by eating some ice cream?
Yep.
It's fantastic. Yep. 50 years.
50 years.
Holy cow.
I know.
Remind folks, because we talked about it in the past, but I want to bring this back up. The process, and I go through you tearing up all this great stuff to put in our ice cream, but what you do to make sure the ice cream tastes so good. I mean, it's not just everyday ice cream.
It's not. I have it made for me at a dairy, and it's 12% butterfat, and mm-hmm. it's made you know, for me to my recipe, and then they ship me that to me. Because you can't, and a lot of people say, oh, you putting the eggs and the milk in there, and I'm like, you can't do that in the state of Alabama. You got to be a little bit more careful than that so you don't make people sick.
But you have people, this is what we talked about before, they have, you don't just get some bacons for ice cream. They make it for you. You make the percentages. You tell them what to do.
Yes. And I had to sign a contract and all that stuff to get them to do that for
me. So it's, I mean, from the word go, it's custom. Even before you start breaking up all the stuff you do and putting it in our ice cream, it's custom.
And then I tweak it.
Yes, you do. That is for sure. All right. If people, if for some reason you've been under a rock or something like that, not picked up some of this fantastic ice cream, I would suggest the moon pie, but you do king cake.
Well, there's four different moon pies. It's chocolate moon pie, coconut moon pie, salted caramel moon pie, and did I say coconut?
No, but because when you pass salted, the only one I care about is salted caramel.
Uh-huh. They're all there. Yeah,
so there it is. Go by and see Cammie. Better at Old Dutch, even better to see her as well, Joe Kane Day.
Yeah, I'm the water stop girl, so I'll be handing you your water.
Good.
As you go by.
Good. I need to stay hydrated before
I
go get hydrated.
That's right.
All right.
And I promise it's water.
Dang it. Had to work through that. All right. Details, if you want more, we'll put the links up on our Facebook page. You can check it out right there. Plus, just search Joe Kane Classic 5K Run on Facebook. Cammie, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
All right. Coming back, grab some phone calls. 343-0106. Yeah, I see the gas tax chat here. I'm just telling y'all what they're working on in Montgomery. I'm not endorsing any of it. I'm just telling you what they're working on. And session starts Fat Tuesday, believe it or not.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. 343-0106. That's the phone number, 343-0106. Also coming up on the show in the second half of this hour, we'll talk to an author who is going to be talking with us here in town in person coming up very soon. But the book, this is really cool. I've read a few pages of the book, and as soon as I get like a quiet second, I think this will be one of these books that you consume, at least for me, very quickly. The book is called Spearhead. And it's a story of a tank crew in World War II European theater, the story of Eagle 7 and her crew. Adam Makos is going to join us here in a little while to talk about this. I watched, they actually made a trailer, a video trailer for the book, showing just some old photographs of this crew put together. He's going to talk more about this coming up in just a little bit. All right, continue our conversation on gas tax. Plus, if I don't let me run out of time, because I have to get the story I just put up on Twitter about the brewery in I think it was in Virginia, offering an IPA flavored like a particular breakfast cereal. But I'll land that plane in a little bit. Let's go to the phones. David, Mobile, first up.
Sean, how you doing today?
Oh, I think I'm all right, man. I'm good.
I think I can assuage your fears about where we're going to find the money if we the $63 million if we send it back to Aldot.
Where?
Because there's a state agency right now that we could eliminate that spends about $70 to $75 million a year that would not affect the core government, core business of government, one iota. I'll give you one guess what that agency is.
Oh, does it have a three-letter acronym?
It certainly does.
Yeah, but here's the thing: they're going to argue there are 635 hardworking people that work for ABC in the state. You want to put them out of a job?
But my question is, why is the state of state of Alabama in the business of
Of course it is. And I'm with you. I'm on the same page. I'm just telling you the argument I get thrown back from whenever I'm talking about this, and folks from ABC come on, they'll say, look, and I'm like, I don't have anything against those people. It's just, if we had, we don't need to be in the business of doing this. I don't think they're bad people who work there. I don't think they're, you know, I'm not mad at them. But yeah, so ABC, and the same thing that's true, and I know you know this, but when they argue that if you take away the ABC stores, all this revenue will be lost for the state, and that's bullsh stuff. It's because they could make the same money charging the same draconian excise taxes on the liquor coming in. They could make money hand over fist taxing the liquor that then would be sold by private retailers. But they don't like that argument.
And then if you did away with ABC by selling off the stores or franchising them out to the store managers, you're actually creating more small businesses in the state. And then the people that work on the wholesale side of ABC, well, the new distributors that would have to be set up to sell the hard liquor in the state would need employees, and you've got a whole crop of experienced employees to choose from on the ABC side. But real quickly on the gas tax, you know, one thing you could do to kind of keep down the gas tax increase, and I kind of covered this over the weekend on Twitter, is get together the major projects that need to be done in the state of Alabama, like the I-10 River Bridge, the Bowling Beach Express, the I-59 29 corridor, and bond it out, because you're going to save money versus tolls, and you can charge you can do it through a hotel / short-term rental tax, and therefore the people that are causing the backups on the tunnel are the ones that are helping to pay for it.
Right. The only worry, because I can't ever not play devil's advocate on anything, is what about when you do something like that, whether it be a gas tax or any other sales tax, because beyond just regular sales tax, do you get in a situation where your funding is not constant, right? That it's not, you can't project it. So if you go to bond something, usually they want, that bonding agency wants some revenue source that you can project out, like you can with property taxes or something like that. That's the problem when you go sales taxes. They'll say, well, you know, how can we give you the good rate here? Because you can't guarantee your revenues from this will be X, Y, or Z.
Well, then what you do is you charge, you know, a little bit more than what you need, what's required to pay the bond back, you know, on a monthly payment, and you put that money into an escrow, basically. So that way, if you don't make the revenue you need to pay that bond payment, you know, 5-10 years from now, you can pull it out of the escrow.
You know how politics works. So here's how politics works. You're then running for office. I take that clip and I'll say, David wanted to raise your money, raise taxes beyond what they even needed, just to leave money in the bank account somewhere in Montgomery.
Well, and my response to that would be, if you don't ever have to spend the escrow because you always make your monthly payment, guess what? You can pay your bond back early, because the escrow will eventually have enough money to pay the bond back.
Yeah, but what about that tax? Those tax dollars you took from hardworking Alabamians, you took out of their pocket and you kept on ice in that escrow account.
And if you pay the bond back early, you can do away with the tax.
All right, there you go. There's David's take on it. What about yours? 343-0106, 343-0106. This is from that story, and I posted it from Alabama Daily News, from Todd Stacey, as they looked into the research that was done here. This is kind of what the members of the legislature are working off of, I guess, as the first part of their discussion of gas tax increases. It says here in this paragraph, titled Population versus Purchasing Power, said at the Alabama Transportation Institute at the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, Dr. Shashi Nambizian leads a team of researchers who analyzed a range of issues that led to the state struggling to pay for adequate roads and bridges under current gas tax revenue. Their report, called Addressing Alabama's Infrastructure, Roads, and Bridges, shows that Alabama's road construction and maintenance has not kept up with population growth and vehicle congestion. You know, and I understand that people make the argument and say, Sean, why is there not enough revenue here? The more cars there are, the more trucks there are, the more gas is being used. That's true. At the same time, our vehicles are way more fuel efficient. So, I mean, that's kind of... And the electric car thing needs to be addressed, but it is a very small part of the issue in Alabama. I think if they build something here, if they end up doing a gas tax, they better put something in for the electric vehicles, because that's going to do nothing but grow going forward. But right now, it's really, you know, they're insignificant to the big number. But we continue to have more vehicles on the road, and yes, you do get more revenue from more vehicles on the road, but at the same time, they're burning less gallons per mile. All right, it says here, his research shows that in between 1990 and 2015, Alabama's population grew by 20%, while the total vehicle miles traveled on state roads grew by 57%. Okay, so there's just some stats. There's some numbers there. The number of vehicles, the population, grew by 20% over this period, 1990. I think the last gas tax hike was in 92. From 1990 to 2015, population grew by 20%. Vehicle miles traveled in Alabama grew by 57%. Okay. So, I mean, those are some of the disparities there that lead to this discussion. And we'll continue to have this the whole way through the start of session and on through it when that gets fired up on Tuesday in Montgomery. All right, 1:30, we'll head to the news break, and we're coming back. I mentioned this book, and we're going to talk about this. You're going to get a chance to find out more about Spearhead and the Eagle 7 and her crew. It's really cool. From what I've read in the book and watching, like I said, this book has its own video trailer. I think you're going to like it. Author Adam Makos joins us next right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And I mentioned as we went to the news break, guest coming on, author of a couple different books here. We're going to talk about the book that's brand new, and you can get a copy signed tomorrow of Spearhead, and Adam Makos, the author, and it's the story of Eagle 7 and her crew. Do I have that right, Adam?
You do, Sean. That's our guys. Those are our heroes.
And let's talk about this. This book, I've read a few pages, and it's only because I had to leave and go to work did I not get... it felt like one of those books that as soon as I started, I was going to sit down and read the thing from stem to stern, because this is something that's so very interesting to me, World War II history, but specifically through the eyes of one man, one gunner, right?
Yeah, Clarence Smoyer. He's 95 years old now. He was just a corporal from Coal Country, Pennsylvania. And he found himself using the biggest tank, the biggest gun in the European theater. He was behind the gun of the Pershing tank, leading the U.S. Army into the heart of the Third Reich.
Unbelievable. And we're going to link through that that trailer we were talking about before the break. And you told me, that too, when people look at this trailer, this is actually Smoyer. This is his crew. This is his tank. This is real film of him.
Yeah, when Clarence and his crew lined up to charge into the city of Cologne, which was going to be the Army's largest urban battle of the European War, the Army cameraman said, "What tank do we follow?" And they just went to the tank that was going to lead the way, and it was this Pershing. It was one of 20 in the entire European theater. So they knew whoever was out in front was going to see the most action.
Yeah, and you even point out the lead tank always gets hit.
Yeah, that was an unwritten rule of armored warfare at that point, because, you know, the Germans were on the defensive, so they could just set their tanks in ambush position, they could set their anti-tank guns, and they knew the Americans were coming to them. And so Clarence found himself in a really precarious spot, a tank fighting in urban warfare. I mean, armored forces were not made for that. They were made for fighting in the fields and in the forests. And so it was a nightmare scenario, because you had to watch your left, your right, you had to watch above you. You had to even watch below the street level. The enemy was everywhere.
Yeah, because, I mean, the famous tank battles on the Eastern Front, but those were, you know, in the open country there in Russia, and some pretty famous battles, but that was a different scenario than the Western Front. And like you said, I mean, rolling in Cologne and places like that, going down streets, and the Germans had, at least, you know, in technology, a distinct advantage with their tanks.
Oh, they did. The Panther tank was a fearsome weapon. It was known as the pride of the Wehrmacht. And if you were in a Sherman tank, you didn't want to go up against that thing. You usually had to use six or seven Shermans to tackle one Panther. Clarence had the only tank that could go toe-to-toe with that monster. And in Cologne, he ended up knocking out two enemy tanks in the city alone. He would knock out five in the whole war and become a tank ace.
And that is, I guess, you know, if people haven't followed that, they'd say, well, one or two tanks, three or four tanks. Talk about how big a deal that was on a battlefield. You knocked out a tank. It's huge.
Yeah, maybe not on the Eastern Front for those guys, but on the Western Front, it was a huge deal. A lot of Americans could fight their way through the war and never even see a German Panther tank or a Tiger. And here Clarence knocks out five of them. He was just an expert gunner. And one of the ways he was a great gunner, he didn't just want to kill the enemy. He wanted to protect his family. The men inside that tank were his brothers. And he knew that if he didn't shoot straight, if he didn't shoot accurately, if he didn't shoot first, somebody in his tank was going to die. And so that's what made him so great.
Well, we're talking to Adam Makos about the book Spearhead, and we're going to talk about how you can get your copy here locally tomorrow. Talk to me about the crew. Pershing tank here. How many in the crew? Who does what?
We've got a five-man crew. So you've got your commander. He was a salty tank veteran, but a tight-lipped kind of guy named Bob Early. And then you had Clarence as the gunner. You had a loader from Scranton, Pennsylvania named John DeRiggi. Then you had a West Virginian named Homer Davis, who used to wear his pistol like a gunslinger, loved doing quick draw. And then you had the driver, Woody McVeigh from Michigan, an Irish-American kid. So you had this, the Wall Street Journal said you had a band of brothers in an American tank. And I love that description because they were a family and they were each characters, and they also turned out to be some of the most impressive soldiers of World War II that we had going into battle.
Okay, I got to ask Adam, how do you stumble upon a story like this?
This was a hot tip, actually. A buddy of mine in college said, there's a hometown hero you got to talk to. Nobody even knows he's there. And when I knocked on Clarence's door way back in 2012, he really stunned me. Because not only did I find out he had fought this Panther tank in Cologne, and this was filmed and shown around the world, which he was famous for, he told me, hey, Adam, the German I fought against wants to meet. And we want to talk about what happened back then.
Oh, wow.
And I got to go with him to Germany to watch him reunite with his enemy. I mean, it's a one in a million story.
You were there when those two sat down?
Yeah, I was. I'd written a book called A Higher Call about two enemies who became friends, a German fighter pilot and American bomber pilot. I thought it's never going to happen again. And then Clarence let me come along with him, and I watched as he approached Gustav Schaefer, a teenage German tank gunner who had been sent to stop him in the city of Cologne. I watched as these two men in front of the cathedral came together, shook hands, hugged, and then they went out for beers, and they told jokes, and then they went back to the place where they had fought. I had a ringside seat, and it was a great blessing to see all that.
That is, it just gives me chills to think about. I mean, we'll see these issues, situations where years and years later, soldiers from both sides of war will come and they'll like look at each other across a table or whatever. But it's very two-dimensional, right? It's very like, okay, here they were and here they are, and we signed a thing and they salute and they go on their way. These two guys who were specifically, not just because of the countries they fought for, they were specifically, one of them, sent to kill the other one. And now they're having beers?
Exactly. They were fighting down the same boulevard. Clarence at one end, Gustav at the other. I don't want to ruin who won that battle, but we can kind of figure it out. Clarence shot a building over on Gustav's tank. He literally knocked a building down, and that's how he disabled this tank, because he was such a great shot. And Gustav later said, well, you know, you kind of saved my life by doing that, because one of us was going to die. But these guys, not only did they share the beers, they also became best buddies. They would exchange Christmas cards. They would exchange letters. They even Skyped on the computer. Two old men looking at each other 5,000 miles apart, talking about the war.
Unbelievable. Talk to folks here about coming out. I know Page and Pallett tomorrow talk about this book signing, and who's going to be there?
Yeah, we're going to have a really special guest. It kicks off at 6 p.m., so you'll want to be there right then and there for the start. We're going to have one of the other heroes of Spearhead. His name is Buck Marsh, and Buck is from Auburn, Alabama. And during World War II, he was the armored infantryman who used to ride Clarence's tank into battle. And he gave us a priceless perspective. So we're writing about Clarence inside the tank. We're writing about Gustav at the other end of the street. And then we're writing about Buck Marsh hopping off the tank and clearing buildings, chasing snipers, and fighting his way on foot through the city. And so this 95-year-old hero is going to be signing books tomorrow, and I'm so thankful he's with us.
This is amazing. And it for a long time, the attention was not paid to the individual stories. I guess we all, like I can tell you are, from all the studying you've done on this and all the writing you've done on this, interested in World War II, but mine was always a 30,000-foot view, and it seems like as time's gone on, and oh my gosh, this clock is ticking here on The Greatest Generation being with us still, you're getting stories that are real people stories. These aren't chess pieces on a map. This is real emotion.
Oh, yeah, and that's what sucks you into the story, because you can put yourself in Buck Marsh's shoes, and you can say, oh, okay, I'm a 21-year-old kid, and my two buddies on my left and right just got shot by a German sniper, and they both just died. What am I going to do next? And you put yourself into that perspective, and you realize just how brave that generation was, and you also feel sadness that they're disappearing. So, I thank God I was able to interview these guys, that they're still living, And it's time to celebrate them. It's time to give them the party they deserve.
That's for sure. Adam, okay, so tomorrow, Page and Pallet, at 6 o'clock. If somebody can't make that or they want to pick up a copy of A Higher Call, your previous book or something like that, best to go. You have a website to go to or just go? Where do you get the books?
Yeah, anywhere books are sold. You can even go online, old Amazon, everything. But I would say we'll probably have some books signed at Page and Pallet left over. And so I'd say give them a call even if you can't make the event and get your spearhead from them.
Fantastic. Adam, thank you for bringing this story to light and bringing it right here to the Gulf Coast and telling that story.
Hey, it's going to be great to see my old friends in Mobile, and thanks for spreading this story for us, Sean.
Very good, Adam. I appreciate it, and hopefully I will see you tomorrow evening out at Page and Pallet. All right, 146 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back, and this is pretty awesome. Like I said, I got this book, and I've looked through it and read the first few pages. It's on the bedside table at the Sullivan House, and it will be consumed quickly. Here in the next probably week. I probably have it finished before we even get to Mardi Gras. Y'all ought to do the same and get your copy tomorrow out at Page and Pallet. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Y'all gonna love this. So we just get... My coworker walks up and says, hey, by the way, remember the win them before you can buy them Brian Adams tickets from last week? I said, yeah, uh-huh. He said, well, there's an extra pair. So I can't. These will be win them after you can buy them because they did go on sale noon on Friday. Show's coming up at the Wharf Amphitheater on Friday, May 10th at 8 o'clock. But we have the last. These are they the. Okay, that's. You don't need to tell me. Yeah, okay, these are the last set. Okay, the last set of Brian Adams Shine a Light Tour tickets and color number 6. The tickets are yours. So you lucked out. 343-0106. What a swell time to be listening to Midday Mobile. 343-0106, caller number 6. The tickets are yours. Brian Adams, Shine a Light Tour at the Wharf Amphitheater, Orange Beach, Friday, May 10th at 8 o'clock. And tickets on sale right now. You can get them through Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge my phone, 800-745-3000. Big thank you to Adam Makos joining us to talk about Spearhead the Book and your chance to come out tomorrow to Page and Pallet and get an autograph from the man who rode on the tank, Buck Marsh, infantry. You know, you've seen that in the movies, right? The three men that would catch a ride there and they hop off and kind of go around the corners before tanks did and clear buildings to make sure there weren't anti-tank guns in them and all that. That man out of Auburn, Alabama, Buck Marsh, will be at Page and Pallet tomorrow at 6. Signing, 95 years old. Amazing. The heroism of that generation just is awe-inspiring. Still is awe-inspiring to me. That book is called Spearhead, and it really, the first few pages, I was already one of those, like, you know the books you get, and some books you take a month or two to read, and some you read in, like, all night. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. You're still reading the book. You're like, I gotta go to work. It's one of those. Could tell when the first 5 pages. Y'all gonna dig it. All right. Oh, I did want to mention this before we run out of time, because this will be a story everybody else will do like tomorrow, or they'll probably do it for St. Patrick's Day, because it's still okay. And I really don't care, but it's still okay to do like things that are patently comical around Irish, Irish folks or people that have Irish surnames and all that. And like I said, it doesn't bother me. I'm sure there's some Irish surnamed hipster out there that is bothered, but I'm not him. So a brewery in Virginia, is it? Yeah, in Norfolk, Virginia, has come up with their new, is it IPA? I think it's an IPA, called Saturday Morning. I guess they have to call it Saturday Morning because the Lucky Charms folks would sue the shillelagh off of them if they didn't. It's a story here from our news partners at WKRG. It says, does a beer that tastes like your favorite childhood breakfast cereal sound magically delicious? A Virginia, by the way, y'all capitalize the V in Virginia, please, on that story. A Virginia brewery is offering Lucky Charms flavored beer. Smart Mouth Beer Company made the announcement on its Facebook page, said, "Join us as we flash back to those Saturday mornings when you rolled out of bed and were lazy all morning watching your favorite cartoons and playing video or board games. We'll celebrate those mornings with the release of Saturday Morning IPA that is made with pounds of marshmallows, some of which we toasted along with tropical fruity Calypso hops. The result is, you guessed it, magically delicious." Here's the thing. This is why they put, you know, they have the old, remember the plates? You still get them, like if you get the, like the disposable plastic plates that have the segmented areas for like your vegetable and maybe the dessert, and then the bigger area on the plate is for the entree, right? To keep, some people just like to keep the food separated, even though, of course, the old argument, it's going to go in your stomach, it doesn't matter. But I wish I could say I have grown out of Lucky Charms. I haven't. I don't let myself have it. But if nobody was watching, maybe I'd buy some Lucky Charms and sit in the house with the lights off and eat it, like half a box of it in a sitting. And I like IPAs. The idea of combining Lucky Charms cereal, I love the Lucky Charms, and I love a lot of craft beers. I think that's a hill too far for me. I think that's too, there's some combinations that are really cool. Things that you didn't think, you know, you'd like together. You're like, wow, those two things are really great when you have them together. And there's some things that should never happen. Okay? I think Lucky Charms beer is something that should have never happened. But it has. The cat is out of the bag. The leprechaun is over the rainbow, something like that, and they've done it. So it's out there. I just want you to be aware of it if you do decide to enjoy a breakfast cereal flavored IPA. There you go. Also, big thank you to our friend Katarina Lukatich from News 5, who has done a story over at WKRG about what we've been talking about for a week or so here with the Family of the Fallen, Family of the Fallen local nonprofit, and their event coming up on Saturday. And I'm waiting to hear back from my friends there. Let's see if the phone just acted like a new text. I'm sorry. I just have to see. Okay. No update yet. I think we're close, but I'd love to make the float so heavy they would worry about it breaking the axles as they roll at the front of the floral parade. So Family of the Fallen, we've been telling you about this 501c3, local nonprofit, as a float that will lead the floral parade on Saturday, honoring law enforcement. Their families will be on there. There's law enforcement officers that have been killed or severely injured in the line of duty. Their families get to ride on this float. Okay, their families will be honored at the front of the floral parade. There'll be signage. I'll make sure I'll tell you 2,500 times between now and then who it's going to be, so you can give them a big, big cheer as they roll at the front of the floral parade. But these families, 27 people on there that have lost a loved one or had a loved one in law enforcement severely injured, they're getting to ride. And what the charity does here is just, it's helping these families year round. But for Mardi Gras, they said, you know, just for a day, just for the time of the parade, for these families to, you know, just have this happiness put in their life, they're doing this. And the charity has gotten the float. It's already been donated by a Mystic organization to use. What I'm encouraging y'all to do by making cash or throws donations is to help stack this float so these families have every throw they need. You can drop off donations at the 2nd and 4th Precinct and at Mobile Headquarters. So MPD 2nd Precinct, MPD 4th Precinct, or HQ. You drop your donations off there. They go on the float so these families can throw them on Saturday. Family of the Fallen invited families of all officers killed or wounded to ride in the parade. So this is the listing's up there, but you got 27 riding on this. Y'all, let's load this float. Let's load it high, all right? And I know you will. All right, Paul Feinbaum's on the way. Congratulations to Susan from Mobile. She won the tickets to Bryan Adams. Good job, Susan. And we'll do it all again tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings. See y'all then.